I'd like to encourage you to take your Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Ruth. I'm going to be doing a summer series on Wednesday nights whenever I have the opportunity entitled, Give God Time to Work. Give God Time to Work. The Lord's been really challenging me over the last couple of years in just various different ways, but this particular subject has come up many, many times in my own personal life. And I am not the most patient individual. And one of the things that I need to learn the most is patience. And giving God time to work is one of those things. And I've always loved the book of Ruth. It is such an important book, I think, in the Old Testament because it speaks so much of those that rush ahead of God, those that wait on God, and how God rewards both. And I think it's important for us to take to heart some things. I found this some time ago. It says, when hard times come, be a student, not a victim. A victim says, why did this happen to me? A student says, what can I learn from this? A victim complains he is being treated unfairly. A student thanks God he is not being treated as he deserves. Let that one soak in for just a moment. Yeah, a student says, I thank God that I'm not being treated as I deserve to be treated. A victim tries to get even with those who have hurt him. A student seeks to serve others in the midst of his difficulty. A victim believes the game of life is stacked against him. A student believes God is at work even in the worst situations. And I think that's a good foundation to lay as we move into this theme here. Because the reason that we oftentimes do not wait for God to work is because we feel we need to act quickly. And sometimes we act quickly with devastating consequences. We've all been there. We've all done it. We've all acted and we did something just out of impulse. We got to get this done. And we moved ahead and then it was a disaster because we should have waited upon the Lord. You know, we rarely control what happens to us. This is a great lesson right here. But we can always choose how we respond to what happens to us. I can't control the weather for the T-Ball World Series. I have had texts today. Todd, have you seen the weather? Todd, have you seen the weather? What are you going to do, Todd? Like, you know, I control the weather or whatever. And I said, we'll do whatever the Lord allows us to do tomorrow. And, I just turned it over to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know our needs over the next 3 days. And, Lord, you do. If you'd like to choose to send rain on Sunday, I would love that. That would be wonderful. But if you choose to send rain tomorrow, then you do it in a way that brings the most glory to yourself. Ever how you do it. You do it for your glory and praise. All right? You know, that's hard when you have games starting at 5:30 to turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, you do what you think is best. Now, Lord, you know what I have in my heart because the Lord knows me well enough. I want to get the tournament over with, all right? Now, I'm not going to be the one that said, I just want to savor every minute. When you deal with some of the parents out there, there's very little savoring, all right? The flavor is not too good, all right? But for the most part, people behave themselves, and they're there to have a good time and so forth. And I've had a lot of positive conversations over the last several days, people calling in and saying, we're just looking forward to the tournament. Thank you so much for hosting it. And, you know, I appreciate those. But, you know, you got some knuckleheads that are going to show up, and you have to deal with them. And but I would like to get it over with. I don't want it to drag out. We had one year, we had a tournament that started on a Thursday, and it went all the way a full week to the next Saturday. Because of a tropical storm that came. Some of you remember that. And that was the longest week. You know, it was just rain, rain, rain. And we had to try to pick it up where we left them off. And, oh, I didn't have that player in there. You had to listen to, you know, all the stuff that happens in those kind of situations. But, you know, we can't control what happens. But I can control how I respond to it. Right? I can control how I respond to it. Not getting angry and bitter and upset and so forth like that. It's just, well, the Lord doesn't want us to play today. You know, there's been some things that I'm sure we've avoided because we couldn't play, because God just steered things around. Maybe something was going to happen that God said, I don't want that to happen. I'll send a rainstorm instead. Now, there's been many years, I remember as a kid, middle school, standing out in lightning storms directing traffic at the T-Ball World Series, only to send them home. We were out there just directing cars, and finally I had to turn around. I don't do that anymore, all right? I don't put anybody out in harm's way in that regard. But I would rather God get the glory for whatever He chooses to do. Does God know how to bring glory unto Himself? Does He know better than I do? Absolutely. So who needs to submit? God to me or me to the Lord? This is the great story of the book of Ruth. It's just submitting to God's leadership, because things are going to happen because of a choice that was made. In the first few verses of Ruth, a choice was made in violation of what God had said in the past. And it brought about all kinds of unforeseen circumstances. Elimelech died. His two boys died. And there's three women left. And how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to eat? Where are we going to live? What are we going to do? Those were the kind of decisions that had to be made at that point, because there were no males there to make the decision. And you know, the star of the book of Ruth is not Ruth. It's not Naomi. It's not Boaz. You know who the star of the book of Ruth is? It's God Almighty. Because you see His hand on every verse of Scripture. As you read this little book of 85 verses, four short chapters, but His hand is on every verse as He's working out things that they could not see at the time to bring about His glory, because He's going to introduce a Moabite girl into the godly line from which Jesus Christ would come. Now you talk about grace. Now we would say, well, we don't want any Moabites. Moabites were bad people. But God said, I'm going to save one. And I'm going to bring her and put her in my godly line from which my son will come through. Can God do that? Is He wrong to do that? I don't think so. He allowed us Gentiles to come in by faith. You see, the whole point of this is give God time to do His work and be happy with it. Be thankful for it. Rejoice in it. Because He knows what He's doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And I don't know what He's doing sometimes. So I just have to submit and say, Lord, You do what brings the greatest glory to Your precious and holy name. You know, when it comes to politics, can you let God choose what to do in the future? Is that all right? Now, we put our prayer requests out there. Boy, everybody's getting all excited. Christians all over the country. We're going to turn this nation around in November. There's going to be a landslide like you can't remember. I don't know what's going to happen. But what I'm seeing from the Republicans in a lot of places is not thrilling my soul. They're capitulating to the LGBTQ crowd massively. Right? Oh, they still talk about Christians, yeah, but they're moving that direction. They're not moving toward us. So be careful. Be careful. So, oh, yeah, God's going to give us a revival and we're going to change this nation, whatever. Is that what I desire? Yes, but it may not be what God wants to do. Can we submit to God? Or are we going to be mad at God if things don't work out like we want them to? I don't understand why God would allow this to happen. After all this praying that we've done, how could God let this happen? Because God knows how to bring glory to His own self. And He may do it in a way that you won't find out the answer until you stand in His presence. And then you'll see how it all fit together for His glory. And how it all meshed together to do His work. You see, we're moving toward a time of great horror, not a time of great glory on this earth. Don't ever forget that. We're not headed toward glorious days. We're headed to an Antichrist. We're headed to a 7-year tribulation period. We're headed toward Armageddon. That's what we're headed to. So for me to think some alternative is going to be out there for us, I don't know. I don't know what kind of world little Preston's going to grow up in whenever he's up in years, if we get that far. The trump may sound before that happens. I don't know what our little ones right here are going to have to endure. It doesn't look very bright, does it, when you have $30 trillion in debt in our country and you have the decision makers in Washington making their decisions based upon the whims of whoever screams the loudest? I mean, that's where we are today. It's not principle anymore. It's who hollers the most. Well, we have to give it to them or they're going to be angry with us. We got to change our decision or they're going to be rioting in the streets. It's not based upon what's right and what's wrong. And so we need to understand that people have lived this before us. Amen? They've lived all this before us. How did they respond? How did they live? There are things I can learn and take away. Let's read these first 5 verses here, and I'll just give you one thought, and then we're going to close. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Stop right there. What does that tell you right away? Were those great times? Oh, my goodness. You read chapter 2 of Judges, and an angel appears before the people and accuses the people of unfaithfulness to God. And tells them, said, listen, I'm going to send judgment upon you. And in those early verses of chapter 2, they cry out to God. And God helps them at that moment. But then later on in chapter 2, as you keep on reading, guess what happens? They started following Balaam. And their hearts went away from God. And you have this endless cycle, it seems, throughout the judges' period of time, of calling upon God, walking away from God, God having to judge, crying out to God, God redeeming them and bringing them back again. He just goes full circle over and over again. It was not the best of times for the nation of Israel. So that's the time that Elimelech and his wife Naomi are living in. As we come to verse 1. And not only that, but there was a famine in the land. Now, we're getting a little bit of a taste, are we not? It's been a long time since we've walked in and saw empty shelves in stores. I've been in several times over the last several weeks, and I've seen empty shelves. I went in and talked to the meat market manager yesterday. Hey, are we going to be able to get Boston butts for doing pulled pork for our July 4th? He said, well, it's getting pretty skimpy right now. But he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I've got 4 in the back there. He went back there, got them. I put them in the freezer. So we're ready to go for that. If I hadn't gone down there at that time, he said, I can't guarantee them for July 4th, but I got some now. It's my last 4 that he had. We won't have another delivery for 5 days, he said. So the Lord just worked that out and provided that. But to look at the shelves and to see empty sections on them, I feel for the moms with little ones, with the baby food situation. I mean, it's like third world country, is it not? We're getting a little bit of a taste of a famine, what it's like not to have what you want to have. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Does that sound like great times? No. Hard times. Difficult times. Distressing times. To lose your husband and both of your sons over a period of years. I don't think they had any intention of staying in Moab very long, but they ended up, whenever this happens with the sun, they'd been in there for 10 years in the land of Moab. Now, where we're going to go with this is I'm going to share with you three main thoughts in regard to giving God time to work. Giving God time to work. God does not work on our schedule. God works on His schedule. So I have to adapt my schedule to God's schedule. How many of you use your Google app for your scheduling on your phones or in your office or whatever? Anybody have an app? I have reminders set. Every time something comes up, I got my reminder set. It pops up on my phone to remind me, hey, you're supposed to be here tonight. You're supposed to be there tomorrow. You got to be home. Best going to kill you if you're not there. All right? I've got reminders and they pop up every day and they tell me what I'm supposed to do. But you know, there's one on there that I can't get. God's schedule. So what do I have to do? I just have to seek His face. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about tomorrow if we get rained out or stormed out, other than start on Friday. But Lord, maybe You'll put a window in there and allow us to be able to get that in. Lord, I don't know what Your schedule is, but would You help me to adapt to Your schedule and be happy with it? You see, that's a different walk than most people live. Most people say, well, I'm not waiting on God. I've got this to do. Boom, I'm going to go do that. Boom, I'm going to do that. And then they start seeing consequences come in, but they don't relate the two together, what their decision and what happens in the future. We ought not to live that way. God's called us to a higher way of living. And so I want to encourage us in this regard, in this series that we're going to be doing. We're going to look first at the book of Ruth, and then we're going to look at a couple other passages of Scripture, because this is taught throughout the Bible. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall what? Strengthen thine heart. He doesn't promise to strengthen our heart if we run out there and do our stuff on our schedule. He promises, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He will strengthen thine heart. Let's let God do His work. Let's wait on Him. Let's let God do what He's going to do and be thankful and have a countenance that rejoices in what God does. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for this time together. We pray that You'd encourage Your saints, Lord, that we would learn to trust Thee, to give You time to do Your work, and for us to adjust to Your timing rather than us trying to seek to do it in our timing. Because, Lord, we know that there are terrible consequences that come when we run ahead or lag behind Thee. Bless us now as we study this passage of Scripture and others, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.